For those of you that were here last week and those that were able to join with us online, we have started a sermon series entitled The Power of Generosity. That for the last, for the 6 weeks that we're going to journey together throughout this series, it is my hope and my prayer that we will cultivate a life of generosity, that we will practice generosity in every aspect of our lives. Because the Bible is so rich in stories upon stories of people who've been touched by the Holy Spirit, whose lives were changed as a result of being generous. It is my hope and my prayer that throughout the 6 weeks, we will be able to really understand what the Bible has to say about generosity and how we can be able to apply that in our day-to-day lives. So let's come to the Lord as we pray. Father God, we thank you again for the freedom of worship, the joy of just being here this morning to worship you in person, and also for those that are able to join with us online. Help us now, Lord, to understand what you are saying to us. And may I be decreased and decreased so that you may be increased and increased. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Would you agree with me that we live in a society where the goal of life is to get more and more and more? How many of you have seen this reality show called Hoarders? Is that what you call hoarders? Come on, church. Years ago, they had this reality show wherein they showed actual people, actual Americans, who tried to accumulate stuff. And there's one story that I could not forget. It's an older lady who was so much consumed by possession that she could not even have a decent place to sit down and watch television at home. She didn't have any space at all where she can dine in and eat. In fact, when children came to the house, this is from the reality show, when children came to the house, tried to help her, they could not open the door because the whole living room is piled up with stuff. It took the social service or the county official to come to move her away from the hazard of accumulation because it has already creating a foul smell. The neighborhoods are already complaining about this stuff that she accumulated over the years. See, church, our society is held hostage by the pursuit of more. This society has been telling us through television, through social media, billboards, and all the rest of the things that we'll be happy when we get more stuff. If you have your gadget now with you, how many of you have cell phone? Come on, church. The social media, the ones producing that, whether it's Samsung, whether iPhone, they will tell you that you need to replace that with a new one, right? And that old one is no longer going to be okay. It's not going to be good anymore. You got to get a new one because the newer, the better. No matter how much we have, we always seem to need more. More stuff and more stuff. And we work and work and work for the sake of securing more. In one of the churches that I served before, I was approached by one member. She said, "Well, we have Pastor, I need you to pray for this family because the husband died while he was working." And that really, he literally died working 50 hours or 60 hours a week just for him to accumulate more and to feed his own lifestyle. We spend the best hours of our day trying to obtain more. And we get jealous when less deserving people seem to have more. We constantly worry about having enough. And we want, as the saying goes, wants to keep up with the Joneses. Have you heard that term before? What our neighbors have, what they have upgraded. In our pursuit to get more, we find it hard to break the grip of this dreaded disease called materialism. What is materialism anyway? There's a definition that I catch. This did not come from me, but I just saw that on the when I'm doing the research. Materialism, and I quote, is an inclination to place excessive value on material possession and wealth, often resulting in relentless pursuit of more stuff. Highly materialistic people believe that owning and buying things are necessary means to achieve their important life goals, whether it's happiness, whether it's success, whether it's desirability. However, in their desire to be busy making a living, trying to get more, they forget the more important things in life. Amen? And we are caught into that cycle as well. And so we come in now in the story here as we dive in into this gospel of Luke. The parable of the rich fool is a story wherein Jesus responded to a man, setting this in context, he responded to a man from a crowd who requests some kind of an advice or assistance about inheritance. There was a dispute about inheritance. So rather than addressing this particular concern from this man, Jesus used this parable. He launches this response by telling a story. A story about how he challenges their beliefs, the beliefs of that man and the beliefs of the crowds that are hearing him at that moment about possession and what is more important. See, in order for us to really truly grasp about this parable, we also need to understand the very context of this story. We all know in Jesus' time, material wealth is often seen as a sign of God's favor. If you have more wealth, if you have more possession, you're closer to God during Jesus' time. Does that ring a bell even now, church? Sometimes we also have that understanding. And the people at that time strive to accumulate more because that's for them, they understood that as more being able to have the favor of God. But Jesus challenged that kind of perspective. He tried to overturn that kind of perspective by highlighting the inherent dangers of accumulating more, having this excessive focus on possessions and stuff, and being greed and being selfish. So in this parable, Jesus tells the story of a rich man who yields an abundant harvest. And what did we notice there? He got extreme wealth, right? And he indulged in that desire. And he rebelled on having those stuff that is with him. And the scenario says here that he decided to tear down his current storage facilities. Think about that for a moment and picture that. He tried to tear down his current storage facilities to make room for larger ones, right? See, this man is a very shrewd businessman. He knew what he needs to do. So he built this colossal storage and decides to hoard his harvest and not to contribute to the market with his surplus. Now, I'm not an economist. I did majors in, one of my majors is, of course, economic science or social economics. But when you try to hoard things, what happened? The demands went up, right? And when the demands went up, what happened to the price? it went up. It goes up. Remember those early time in the pandemic when we are trying to look for toilet papers? What happened to the toilet papers? We tried to hoard things, you know. It was the fear, right? And just same true with this kind of thing. This man tried to be very shrewd that his intention affect the food supply and create a scarcity of grain, ultimately driving the price up. Because of his self-centeredness, because he always think about himself, because he wants to hoard his grain, this rich man secures his economic power. It says here, and I quote, secures his economic power and position of status in the village as others are made more and more dependent on him. Are you with me, church? This is not just a story about hoarding. It's also something that affects the relationships and how this man uses his power, uses his wealth to take advantage of others. The rich man wants to control the market at the expense of his neighbors. Have we seen that also the same way today? Or perhaps some of you have experienced that. And that is why the rich farmer, according to Jesus, was fool. He used that language of foolishness because he is wealthy, not because he's wealthy, not because he saves for the future, but because he only lives for himself. He lives for himself. And because he lives for himself, he thought that he can secure his life with this abundant possession. Jesus labeled him as fool because he assumes that his security depends on his possession and his wealth, not on God. In fact, he excluded God from the aspects, from all the aspects of his life. He didn't even recognize God to be the source of what he already had. Think about that for a minute. That this rich man, he thought that he can bring that with him in the afterlife. He had this assumption. You know, there's a saying, we have yet to see a U-Haul connected to the hearse. Are you with me now, church? I said that in one of the funerals, and people keep on approaching me and said, Pastor, I think that really makes sense because we came with nothing and we are leaving here with nothing. This man was so tied up with his stuff that he began to define even his future with the stuff that he had. That's why God summoned him. And he summoned his soul. When the rich farmer invites his soul to be merry and enjoy wealth in a single moment, all his hopes vanish. And God asks him a very rhetorical question. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? God's question means that he cannot take his hoarded grain to the grave. Nor does he knows whose they will be. His children or his poor peasants whom he held his grain may take them. So Jesus tells his audience, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. Jesus means that the rich fool lost his soul to gain earthly possessions that will not benefit in the afterlife. Now I want to be clear here. The Bible is not saying here that it's wrong to have possessions. Are you with me, church? Nor it's wrong to work and earn a living. That's not what Jesus is trying to point us here. What the Bible is saying here is that it's wrong to covet them. It's wrong to cling on those material possessions. It's wrong to build your life centered around stuff. and accumulation and excessive possessions. And I really believe this is a major issue in each of our lives and in the life of God's church. John MacArthur says, he's a well-known theologian. He said, and I quote, he said this to the Christians. He did not say this to the unchurched, but he said it to the Christians. Instead of offering an alternative, instead of being distinct, instead of being apart from the world, Christians have become materialistic in many ways, in self-indulgent, and it's a fearful thing. End of quote. Well, I will say, well, we can say to God, Lord, I have not been materialistic. I am just, you know, have an ordinary and way of life. But think of that and search our hearts very carefully. There are small things that we try to exhibit that kind of attitude at some point in our lives that we need to ask God for His forgiveness. Because the issue here is not about the quantity, but the condition of our hearts. Greed is really just a way of dealing with our own feelings of deficit and emptiness. It's not so much about having enough, but about being enough. And when we feel ourselves to be deficient, we become more materialistic. We become more self-centered. And we use things and other people to fill that void that will make us happy, when in fact it's not. Well, the good news is the Bible did not leave us there. There's always a good news that Jesus wants to tell us. Amen? And in this story, what Jesus is trying to say here is that the biggest antidote to really address this disease called materialism is to be rich toward God. Amen? Jesus tells us in this parable of the rich fool that secured life does not depend upon possessions, but on entrusting one's life to the very one who is the ultimate giver of life, and that is God. Every time we give, it breaks that grip of materialism in each one of us. Every time we sacrificially offer our time, our service, just like what we have done with the responses with the hurricane, UMCORS, help with the fourth Saturday free market, supporting our Zeb Vance Elementary School and all other service and witnesses to the community and beyond. A bit of our materialistic attitude is being chipped off. Are you with me now? Slowly, this portion of our human brokenness is being chipped off, and we become more and more like Jesus. Generosity breaks the grip of materialism in us, because materialism is all about what we get. On the other hand, generosity is all about giving and giving and giving. In fact, generosity changes our thoughts, and it reveals us how blessed we already have, right? And so, church, the more we are generous, the more we are contented and satisfied with what we already have. We don't need to accumulate more. We don't need to add more. So here's our challenge. How have you battled materialism in your life? What is one generosity goal that you would like to set in your life this week as you seek to break the grip of materialism that is happening in your life? How can we be more able to apply generosity as a way to break that grip that is holding us? My prayer is that the story of the parable becomes a wake-up call for us to embody the practice of contentment and generosity that counteracts greed, selfishness, and materialism. May we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may it be now and forever. Let us pray. In a society that compelled us to get more and more and more, help us, O God, to re-examine our own lives. That through the stories of your scripture, through the word that we have just heard, may we be able to be challenged to reprioritize our lives, to re-examine how we spend our time, our resources, our energy, not on accumulating stuff, but more on what is more important in life. Challenge our own sense of materialistic attitudes. And may our generosity that comes from you, O God, becomes our antidote in breaking this grip that will control us. Help us to battle materialism in every aspect of our lives. And we can only do this through the help of your Holy Spirit. Help us now. Help us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.